instant immersion German.
That's my favorite.
That's beautiful.
I like that even more than a lot of the albums or CDs that I have now.
Well, that's what you can learn in German.
German? No. It's not that kind of instant immersion German. No, it's an 8-cassette deluxe edition.
That's instant immersion Japanese.
Yeah, what I have to do, I've got to find a cassette player, and I know I have one.
Why don't you just buy the DVD version?
This is all they had. Well, they had this and they had the French, and they had instant immersion French. So I bought them. So
Doug's a Renaissance man. He's trying to learn two languages at the same time.
I don't know, classico languages. Yeah, well, I guess you just listen to it and you're immediately can.
You're converted.
Yeah.
Didn't I say that you're like the lawnmower man or something? You just plug yourself into this thing and like an hour later.
Yeah, but boom, you can speak and read and eat fluently in German.
Anyway, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
Yeah, and what's going on? It's been a trying week for all of us again.
Did we do a show last week or was last week?
No, last week we were off.
Yes.
You guys were out in sunny Indiana and had all kinds of cool fun.
Yep.
And I was here just like, you know, like in my like black writing black poetry in my bedroom, hiding in the cool air. Couple of things.
You didn't buy like white face paint, did you?
No.
Oh, good, good. At least we've rescued you from
not this year.
Yeah, from total goth and everything. You know,
a couple of things on the. I don't know if I told you guys this year or not, but actually, I took some time. I said like 2 weeks ago that I was going to put up some EVP sessions that we did at Mansfield Reformatory for my reporter.
Did you do it?
Yeah, got them up there. And
you found them? They were on that hard drive.
Oh yeah. I pulled them down. They were right there. It wasn't a problem. But I actually got them up there. I put a little message up on the front page. There is a section in the interact section on our navigation menu. If you go to the very bottom where you see like the ORV people.
You made a new page?
Yeah, it's all set up.
Rock on!
Yeah, it's all set up.
Dude, I'm impressed.
There's four of them there. There's four of them there, and they're totally unedited except for the fourth one. I just cut half it off because it was just all of us laughing and stuff like that. So I had to cut that out. But the rest of them, they're even in wave form.
What did they sound like? Were they? I didn't hear them.
There's something weird with my recorder.
Yeah.
There's something really weird going on with my recorder, and normally I'd say, you know, whatever, it's just, there's a glitch in the recorder, I need to replace it, but I found that this has been happening. Actually, Matthew, one of the guys that we were doing sessions with at Mansfield, he's one of the IGT folks, it was myself and Sean and Wayne. And
was this the experiment with the harmonica?
No, that was earlier. I have one of those up there that you can listen to also. That was a really cool idea from Wayne. But there was a couple of sessions we did. It was, like I said, it was myself, Sean, Wayne, and this gentleman named Matthew, who I just met that night. And he actually has emailed me a couple times going, hey, I heard some weird stuff in this particular audio section. You might want to listen for that. I did note that, and I'm sorry, man. I've been meaning to email you back, but those are actually up there. And one of the ones he said is he's like, you know, after you say shut it, because we were like we were in the little boys' room,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where I kind of did that whole like last September. I sat there for like 3 hours by myself just recording EVPs.
Oh, okay. So you don't mean little boys' room like.
No, we weren't in the urinal.
You were in a little boys' room.
No, we were far away from Never Neverland.
Okay. Okay.
Ooh, cha-ching. All right, another score for me. There's in Mansfield Reformatory. That's where Gary showed us this particular room. We just kind of call it the little boys' room now, where it's supposed to be this little boy who just kind of hangs out, and he can be photographed sometimes. And I was actually trying to pick some audio up from him. I did that last September. By the way, too, one thing, I'm having a hard time speaking because my nose still.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sound stupid and I slur words, it's because my sinuses still.
Oh, don't worry, we're going to
change.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyways, I can feel it. I can actually feel it
from
time.
All areas, yeah.
No, we went up there, and we did some recording up in the little boys' room. And poor Will took some hard shots for this because Will's like, how about I talk like an angry parent? Maybe that'll get a reaction out of him. Maybe I talk like an angry parent, right? So, hey, that's a great idea. So Will goes into this thing where he just, boy, what'd I tell you about that? Boy, what you doing? And then we're like,
what kind of angry parent?
He took some hits for that, right? I'm like, okay, everybody, shut up. Let me try. So I just start yelling, screaming, like, shut the door, you know, things like that, right?
How therapeutic.
Yeah, we're peaceful, loving people. Right?
There
comes
that?
A certain time of the night where you've been kind enough. It's like, look, okay, I've been here for 6 hours. You gotta help me out here, right? So
give me an EVP.
One of the things I said was, shut it. as in the we were there was a door open in front of us, and we wanted to try to see if we could door to move or something, right?
Right.
So we're thinking we can perform magic or something, and woo, the door will move. But I'm like, shut it! Really loud. And Matt said he heard like a loud sound after that.
Really?
Right? My recorder has been notorious for this for some reason. It's a weird sound, and you'll probably hear it on these particular EVPs that I post. They're sessions. They're not EVPs. They're EVP sessions. Let's make that very clear. They're about 2 minutes to like 8 minutes long each. And they're EVP sessions. I put them up there for the sole purpose. Excuse me, the sole purpose of people to listen to them, and email me back and tell me what they heard. I've been through them. I didn't really hear anything myself, but you might hear something I didn't. That's why I put them up on the website. And Matt pointed out this one thing, that there was this sound like a whoosh, It's like a whoosh sound like that, kind of in the recorder. It's really loud, like a whoosh. Really loud.
Is it in your recorder as well?
This is in my recorder.
Oh, okay.
This is in my recorder. And I've heard this sound numerous times before. I would totally just say, okay, there's something with the recorder. It's nothing paranormal or anomalously related. It's something with the recorder. The problem with that, though, is it always seems to happen after somebody asks a question.
Okay.
Or they make a statement like that, and everybody gets quiet. You know how we do these EVP sessions where it's like, what is your name? How old are you? Bra size, right? Things like that, okay? You ask these questions, and you...
Everybody, all dozen people who listen to us want to go...
And ask what the bra size is.
Ask our EVP.
They're born. A whole new dimension on EVP analysis. No, that's the thing right there, is that it seems to do this sound. It makes this weird sound always after somebody asks the question. I know the sound. When Matt emailed me, I'm like, well, I'll listen to it. When I heard it, I'm like... Damn recorder, there's something up with it. But it seems to always make these... It's like the recorder itself or whatever is answering, but the only sound it can make is this, you know, the snapping, whooping kind of sound.
Yeah.
Everybody go over there, download the WAV files, because I left them pure. I pulled them off the recorder. There is no editing done to them, except for the one, like I said, I cut off a little bit. But there was no editing done to them whatsoever. They're the rawest form they can be. Yeah, but Matt, I have to agree. There's some sound there, and my recorder. I've never heard it from anybody else's recorder do this. It's like a popping sound or something like that. It's not a voice. I don't know what it is. Check it out. Maybe tell me.
I'll try and listen to it tomorrow night.
Yeah, they're up on the site. Just pull them down and give them a listen. They're not very long. That's the one thing I've learned about EVP analysis, and I think we all have. Is I used to go out and like, okay, I'm gonna plant the recorder here for like 2 days. And then I'm going to go home and try to listen to this stuff.
I know. I went and I bought my little recorder thing.
Nine hours of time,
and
yeah.
It's like, okay, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that has that kind of dedication and persistence to be able to sit down at a computer and listen to...
Because then when you finally hear something, then you're like, okay, rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play.
Yeah.
So you're there listening to 9 hours for like 6 months.
I like doing them like in 10-minute sessions at the most now.
Right.
That's the longest I like doing them.
Right.
It's easier to analyze and it's easier to identify. Like I said, when Matt said, hey, I found something, you know, in the little boys' room, all I had to do was just go back through. And I always do an identification now at the beginning of every, you know, hi, this is Scott. It's this time. We're here on this day. So that's the earmark right there. Then I know exactly where I'm at, and I can actually go through what I'm trying to find and pick it up or whatever. So check that out. That's something to check out for people just to listen to.
And also, so you know, our website is www.ghostlytalks.com.
Sorry.
We're also broadcast live every Sunday night. And yes, we are live every Sunday night. Well, except for when we take vacations like last week. But every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
We're broadcast live from the Haunted Basement Studios in beautiful Fraser, Michigan. Sweltering Fraser, Michigan. Under a tornado watch.
Yeah. That's the other thing I wanted to say, but you said it.
Yeah. And so basically, if we go off in the air, it's because we had a power outage.
If the air
we're
go off,
we're dead.
You're
probably dead at that point.
Yeah, and the tornado probably has sucked us up into the stratosphere. But you know how it goes. I mean, that's
headphones and all.
There's a chance you take when you broadcast live.
Yeah, it is. It's actually starting to. Well, the sun's still out. It's been sweltering, like you said.
Yeah.
The weather here...
It went from... Well, it was nice, but but humid, you know. And
so humid.
Like, makes you go insane. Will is sunburnt, and so are some people in the chat rooms, evidently. Speaking of chat rooms, If you go to www.ghostlytalk.com and you have an account, you can click on the little Java IRC chat applet. If that works, then great. If it doesn't, then great. But if you go to, but you can always go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net or something, and you can click on the text chat link in the control unit at the bottom, unless you change the site. So,
Jeff, I want Jeff to email me too from Pioneer Radio. I have not had any contact with Jeff in months.
Well, you can email him.
I know, but I'm an idiot. So, Jeff, email me.
Do you know his email address?
Yeah, Jeff at Rolo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good thing.
Oops, sorry. Well, it's pretty much public.
Yeah.
He,
well, out of our three,
he is the proprietor and the
only two of our three listeners are spammers. So
okay, well, we're cool.
Not too bad.
Jeff, contact. Call. I love getting a phone call from Jeff. From England. It was great because my phone went crazy, right? It like grew legs and went running around the table going, oh my God, what is
this? You got an international call. You got an international yeah. call.
This is like $5,000
a
gigasecond or whatever. It's like, this is going to be so expensive, but it's going to be so cool. And I haven't heard from Jeff. I just miss Jeff. We haven't talked to him in so long.
I know. Well, I don't know what's up. He might be, we take
maybe he's still burned out from that vacation.
Last time we
he's in here today. He's talking.
Yeah, so he must be back from that vacation. Maybe they found him.
So how was it?
Because, you know, they would have had to drag him out of a gutter somewhere,
passed out.
Him down.
Yeah, yeah.
Dried him out or whatever, cleaned him up.
Passed out with a bra on, just done. Lipstick all around his mouth except for his lips.
Out his head.
He said he'll email you.
Okay, cool. You know. All you have to do is say hi, Scott. Or go, cheerio, Scott.
Cheerio.
That's all I need. I'm a happy boy for the rest of the year, man.
But so, yeah, so he's back, evidently, in full control of his faculty.
And so is the ice cream truck, too. Yay. We looked at him yesterday.
Yes, we
that was so
him
creepy.
Down.
I came over here yesterday, and he's like, hey, well, I have to go to the party store, and you need to go to the chain drugstore. To get your shampoo, so and they're all in the same.
Home on the Range.
That song is permanently ingrained in the fiber of my brain.
I think it's a permanent part of Ghostly Talk.
I'll record a MIDI version of that for you.
No MIDI. But no, we. I'm like, we walk out. We're gonna take the van, right? And Doug's like, yeah, take the van. I'm like, well, let me go to my car and grab my coupons. So and I'll come back and I'll ride with you. So I go to my car, I open the car, but I hear a song. Ding, ding, and I look down there, and there's the infamous ice cream truck, right? And I'm like, oh, dude, what a trip. What a trip, right? And I look back, and there's Doug staring diligently at the ice cream truck. And I walk up, and we both take about maybe 10, 20 seconds and pause before we open the doors of the van and stare at this truck as it comes by. And, I mean, I nodded to the guy. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I waved to him, and he waved to me, and it was just a regular dude.
You're famous.
Yeah, you don't even know how popular you are, man.
You don't even know that, like, people from a couple dozen people from around the world have heard him drive by every week.
But it was just an instinctive thing we both did. We're just both like, and we didn't say anything about it, really, either. We just got in the van and started talking about other stuff, really. It was just something we just both noticed, like, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
Should we jump on the truck right now and follow him, or what should we do? But we let him go again.
Have you been watching the site stats?
No.
I've been watching them. Pretty good. I'm impressed.
We're happy.
I'm happy.
Good.
Because it's been going pretty good. It is ghost hunting season now because the weather has turned.
Yeah, but it's weird because it seems like it's ghost hunting season, so people are out and about. They're not on their computers.
Well, that's what I would think. But, you know, most people download the archives, so.
This is usually like our downtime kind of. We just find, like, you know, we don't really. We do enough, I guess. We do our thing during the summer, too.
So I'm impressed. So I went in the, what do they call it, the forums.
Yeah.
And I answered some things and wrote some stuff and, you know, well, I keep checking up.
Well, that's what we do.
A little on the busy side, but I did get some time a couple days ago.
And yeah.
Went in there. It was pretty interesting. And
there's a lot to do on the site now. There's all kinds of stuff to do now. I mean,
I have not been home to more than sleep.
I know.
That's like a week and a half.
Well, I absolutely love the interaction that goes on. Because we got a lot of cool people at the website. And of course, it's there for the people. You know, it's there for everybody, including ourselves. But I just absolutely love the interaction. The movies, oh gosh. They're talking about favorite movies, about just all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I have very strong opinions on movies. Mm-hmm.
Well, my favorite websites always are the sites that you can really get your hands dirty with. I mean, forums are fun. I know that I love the forum thing, too. But just like the thing I just threw down there this week, you know, with the EVP thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I like sites, especially with this kind of stuff, because this is obviously is our passion. This is what we do. I love sites that really, you know, here, download this and check it out. What do you think, you know? Something you can really sit down and analyze with other people. Very, very hands-on. I mean, that's why, I mean, I love going to places like the Detroit Science Center or Cranbrook. We were talking about Cranbrook last night because it's very hands-on. You go there and you can learn a lot of really neat things. Mm-hmm. Hands-on.
Yep.
I mean, and that's what I always love about simple science.
We were talking
especially
about Cranbrook because...
we were going to try to, like, weasel our way into that place.
Well, Kelly said... Yeah, I want free pass to Cranbrook. But Kelly had said... Kelly, you know, of EnchantedSoul.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had said that in August, I think, the Moon and Mars are going to be the same size,
yeah,
or something, mm-hmm, in the sky, in the same illumination.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting because I've got, you know, a telescope. It's my niece's, but yeah, hey, she doesn't know. And and we'll take it out and we can watch. And then you're like, oh, let's try and weasel our way into Cranbrook for that. You know?
Yeah, well, they have a telescope there, I think. I'm pretty sure they have a telescope.
One.
A big one, yeah, a real big
one. Isn't it an observatory or something?
Or I can call my college professor from like 1995.
He'll love to hear from you.
And be like, oh, Dr. Martin, it's so good to hear from you. Can I use your telescope?
Can I use your $18,000 like telescope?
He lives up in the woods and stuff. And well, I told you about that. We actually had to do a project where, you know, and that was during the Hale-Bopp. That was right around, what year was the Hale-Bopp comet? I totally forgot which year it was. That's the year
97.
Was it 97? Okay, 97 was when I had this class, and it wasn't 95.
I would have never remembered.
I remember because I remember watching it from
it was huge.
Phil's house I was dating at the time.
You could see it in the sky. It was huge, man. It was green. Remember that? It was so pretty. But we were actually very privileged at the time to have this class during this semester because our professor, Dr. Martin, was like, listen, guys, one of the projects I want you guys to do is to come out to my house, my home.
Shack in the woods?
No, this is far from a shack. This is a solar-powered house.
Oh, dang.
This is
okay.
A very beautiful home.
So he's not a Kaczynski type.
No. Okay. This guy was very cool. I want you to come out to my house, and I want you to observe the Hale-Bopp comet from my 55-inch telescope that I have in my moon room.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we had, I mean, we were like, whatever. We got out there, and we're like, this guy's the real deal. We just thought he was some bum, you know, prof from, you know, whatever. This guy really is passionate about astronomy. This is what he's into, right? So we were actually pleasured to actually be able to see the corona of this comet. He had it dialed in right on the comet to look at it. And it was really beautiful. Wonderful thing. I'm going to call him.
Yeah, give him a call and say, look, we want to see Mars now.
Yeah, we want to see Mars. I don't know if he...
Face on Mars.
Please.
Do you think he has any... what do they call it? Opinions about face on Mars, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, one of the opinions he had,
Cycladonia or whatever.
Well, one of the opinions that he had that we argued about, I remember this, and this is before I really got hardcore into ghost hunting or, you know, critical thinking or any of the stuff we do here on this show. We were talking about
we do critical thinking. Okay.
Well, sometimes about ourselves, usually. But
I remember once.
he was taught we were going through all the planets of our solar system, right? And he came to...
Do you know them all?
Absolutely not. I'm an idiot. I don't know. But I do know the one for sure because everybody's going to laugh.
Earth.
No.
Oh.
He came to the green planet called...
Neptune?
Uranus.
Okay.
Uranus. He came to the planet and explained. He's like, yeah, this is a gaseous type planet. It has an atmosphere of pure methane. So nothing could live there. Nothing could live there. Nothing by any chance could live there at all. And I thought about that for a second. I remember being there, and I'm like, what do you mean nothing could live there? What kind of deduction is that? I mean, I understand we're a carbon-based life form. Therefore, we couldn't live on methane. That's fine. If you make that statement, human beings of our sort could not live on this planet because it's a methane-based atmosphere. That's fine. I agree with you on that. That's pretty much proven. But to say that nothing, absolutely nothing in the universe could live on this is absolutely ridiculous.
Anaerobic bacteria?
Yeah. There's on this planet that lives
even
on...
Even here there's anaerobic bacteria.
Christ, cockroaches can walk through it. They can survive a nuclear fallout from what I've read.
Right.
And they're stronger and they're bigger and they're meaner, right? So why...
They also live weeks without food, too.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think...
Or their head or something.
Really?
I don't know. I just made that up, but...
Well, I think, you know, I love Dr. Martin. He was a wonderful professor. That's the one thing I had to argue with him about. And I actually sat with him after class for about 45 minutes going, where do you get this idea that nothing could live there? I mean, I know I'm kind of thinking a little bit too far outside of my head, but you know, where would you get that idea? There could be something out there. I mean, there's billions and billions of stars. And you mean they tell me...
Carl.
There's nothing that could live on that. That doesn't. I mean, what do you guys think? That doesn't settle with me very well.
I mean, we're carbon-based life forms, but what about nitrogen-based life forms?
Yeah, exactly. There could be all types of different life forms out there, and there could be some solid planet out there that has a methane-based atmosphere, which, of course, could...
Well, that's a gas planet, though, not a solid planet.
That's a gas planet.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually...
It would have a methane atmosphere, but it would have a solid, you know, a solid...
It would have to be a porous planet like ours. I mean, a solid planet. And it is a gas giant planet like Jupiter.
But things could live in gas. I mean...
Yeah.
What are those, super hot vents down at the bottom of the ocean floor? I don't even know what they call them, but they're vents. And there's, like, superheated water just always, like, pouring out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually, like, microbes and stuff that live in those.
Mm-hmm. And that would be considered life.
And you would
life.
Think that they'd be kind of warm, but mm-hmm. they live there.
Yeah, that would be considered life.
I would consider a microbe things. Life. I mean...
Yeah, it does the basic
it's
things.
Not like... It doesn't think, but it survives.
Like most plants... Like most animals in nature, most of them really don't think that much. They're programmed to do a certain thing. And unfortunately, we're the only... Aside from the dolphins, from what I understand, dolphins do have a thinking process. They... And I'm not saying this just to say it. The dolphins I've read are the only animal outside of the Homo sapien that have sex for pleasure.
Ah.
The rest of them just seem to do it to procreate. It's programmed into their genetic makeup,
mm-hmm.
and they do it because they know that it's just what they have to do to keep their species alive on this planet. From what I understand, dolphins are the only other animal that have intercourse with one another for pleasure. Okay? Other than that, it's programmed. And most animals, they are basically programmed. They're fascinating. Like, we did go out ghost hunting last night.
Oh, no. We're not talking about those animals.
Will, you'd have died. This poor guy, I was torturing this poor guy.
I am telling you, it attacked. It was attacking.
We went to the train wreck site last night.
Yeah.
And it was just myself and Doug. We walked out there, and we were checking it out. And I went up to the bridge, and Doug's like, get on the edge of the bridge. Doug's like, get away from there. There's deadly... venomous creature. I'm like, I thought there was like a king cobra sitting there or something, like looking down at me, right? I'm like, what? And I put the flashlight on the thing, and there's these beautiful spider webs.
Oh, yeah, they're
perfectly
gorgeous.
Spun, beautiful spider webs with these big yellow and black spiders chilling in the center of them, right? And I'm like, wow, what a balls-out creature right there. That's fascinating. And Doug's like walking away, like back to the cars. I'm doing this. You know,
I need to go there and do some spider photography out there for work.
Fascinating creatures. I mean, Doug wouldn't have any.
I'm not going. I'm not.
Doug wouldn't
go
have
any
of it.
I no. This one spider decided to fly. It was a flying spider, and it flew.
It didn't jump.
I think it got. I think I might have got caught on the web or something like that. And the thing literally was like kind of floating out about in front of me. He's like,
and it was coming
back.
At me. Is what it was. Doing.
It was coming after Doug. It had a knife in its hand.
And you know what it was doing? It was like letting out. What was it, a web or whatever?
Yeah.
So that it could get closer and closer to
it. It was trying to cocoon Doug up and then throw him in the river while I sat there and laughed. I mean, apparently that's what Doug thought it was going
to
do.
That's what it wanted to do. And you know, the thing is, there was one there already that had some poor creature cocooned up and it was, like, protecting it.
Like a moth or something?
Something.
Oh. Ooh, who could that be?
We're getting a phone call.
Well, what time is it, man?
I have no idea who this could be.
What time do we have?
This is, like, actually an international number.
Oh, God, no.
You want to take it?
You take it. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Who could this be? Doug's on the phone. He's our screener for the night.
Oh, awesome. Wait one second.
Oh, boy, I'm in trouble.
Bring this in.
I got a feeling I'm in big trouble.
Bring this to the line.
I'm in big trouble, ain't I?
Hey.
Who could this be?
What's up?
Who'd this be?
Hello.
Ah! Now you've heard from...
I've been called out, haven't
King
I?
King Phobos himself.
Hello, Mr. Phobos. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm okay.
Jeff, it's
I thought I should phone in. I did try a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know, I've been having troubles getting through in the past, but I'll give it a go, and it did get through, but it was a bit too close to your guest time, so I'll leave it till a bit later.
Well, Jeff, I miss you, man. I haven't heard from you in so long. It's been like... Because I'm like, okay, Pioneer's still there. There's still shows on Pioneer. We still connect up to their server. We still do all this stuff. And I'm like, where's Jeff been?
He's
got to
be around, but yeah.
It's like I heard about you going on vacation, and we had the betting pool, and like, what, you know, you know, what skanky Tijuana bar you were at.
This time to fail, yeah. But, we actually took over another company, so things got rather chaotic for a while.
So it wasn't a vacation you were on?
I wouldn't really describe it as a holiday.
See, all business. The guy's all business.
All business. All the time.
Guy is always making money, man.
That's
I love
it. That's it.
That's why I respect you, Jeff, because it's like when I go on, you know, I say I'm going on vacation. I'm going to go somewhere and lay, which is usually my home. In the living room. I don't really do anything.
Lay around, order out for pizzas.
Yeah. That's a vacation right there. That's
for,
my idea
for
of
FOMOs, home. It's like, oh, I know. I'll go buy a company.
Yeah, I'm going to swallow a company whole and spit their bones out in the street.
Sounds like a great vacation to me. I don't know. I couldn't do it, but, man, that's awesome.
How's things over in England?
Oh, not too bad. We've had absolutely zero change since the election. There's the same government in power that's been in for ages. It's still Labour. Things don't seem to change too much over here in the last few years.
Is it raining there right now?
Well, not in this little part. I saw someone put a weather forecast up, said it was raining. I thought, well, no.
No,
it can be localised, though, so... But no, outside it's just dark.
Apparently, yeah. We have some monsoon coming through here or something like that. I don't know. We're going to have, we've been told there's like 10 different tornadoes touching down on the eastern border of Michigan right now.
Yeah, so they're like coming at us right now. But
Well, the calendar keeps reminding me it's supposed to be nice hot weather time, but the clouds seem to have another opinion. So
Well, we had that for the longest time. We had cold, and then we had warm, and then we had bitter cold, and then we had snow, and then we had...
yeah, there was a few days there before, like back before March here, that we actually had like 70 degree weather.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it went back to
it snowed the next day. It literally there was one week I remember.
Look! He called up.
Okay, here's our weather forecast.
It's a big like
red
finger of God.
Yeah, big finger of God coming to squash us out.
Coming to squash the Detroit area.
That's called bus. Probably about an hour and a half out, so we might be able to complete the show in time.
Oh, okay. You know, before the big power outage and everything. Okay, that's
there was one week we had though. I remember it did. It was like 70 or 80 degrees for 2 days straight, and then it snowed the next day.
Yep.
It was
the
ridiculous.
Weather patterns have been freaky. Yeah, this year so far, it'll be interesting.
You will have to see.
Well, just before I went to phone in. You were actually talking about extra planet life forms. And,
yes,
where
yes,
they
sir.
Actually live. There seemed to be a couple of things, actually, that I thought I could mention about. First of all, of course, life doesn't need a planet. That's sort of one big mistake straight away. You don't have to think in terms of planets. Moons are just as hospitable. I mean, in our solar system, they're looking at Europa as being possibly more likely to contain life now than Mars, which has always been considered the second best bet.
Yeah.
But there's actually an awful lot of other places where you could have life.
In this solar system you're talking, right?
Within our solar system.
Okay, all right.
I mean, even Venus. Now, Venus has always been just totally written off as anything possible there because the surface is hot enough to melt lead, which you would imagine would be pretty much, an extreme, to say the least.
I like heat, but not that much.
Well, again, though, what's happening is there's two prejudices going in there straight away. You're talking about on the surface. Well, that's the surface. What about subsurface or in the atmosphere?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of dynamics involved with that. We're not talking about human beings and breathe. I mean, there's a lot more to it.
Life is more than just what, you look around and see a shrub.
Yeah, life is more than going to Starbucks for coffee in the morning and then coming. I mean, there's more to it than that, right. Obviously. And that's what you're saying, Jeff.
Yeah, well, the fact is that Venus is not very similar to Earth. Unfortunately, at the same time as the sort of pressure being more like Earth, so does all the other factors. They get very Earth-like indeed in certain zones. So Earth-like bacteria that survive in the atmosphere over here, they would potentially still survive if they were transported to that particular life zone on Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Venus is considered one of the worst places in our solar system, and
Life
on Earth could possibly survive there, and it could easily make the journey. There's many ways that could happen. Then you have to start looking afresh at every single one of the other places. Mercury is another one. Now, Mercury has got a pretty hot surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's so close to the sun. But there are areas on Mercury which are actually deep frozen, which is not widely known, but at the poles, they're in permanent shadow, and it actually gets well below zero there. So you're going to have a variation in temperatures towards the rims of the craters in places like this. And even if they're not hospitable now, we could easily convert them in some point in the future. So you could see human beings living here. It's got no life. It could have life in the future.
Look at Jeff. He's planning already. You're planning already, aren't you, Phobos? you're planning global takeover.
That's actually one of my pet thoughts is Mercury, of all the places in our solar system, actually has an awful lot going for it, as well as some of the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Being close to the sun means you've got plentiful energy, and that, beyond many of the other factors, is a big bonus.
Absolutely.
Also, of course, all the minerals on Mercury, they're very metallic, that it would make a perfect place for certain things to be done.
Don't say that too loud. The jewelry companies will be hearing that, and they'll be saying their next rocket up there next week.
But well, you can also couple the fact that because it's near the sun, you can use the solar wind to actually send things from Mercury to Earth quite easily without, you know, massive amounts of fuel. So you've got a lot of bonuses there. But for life, as I said, don't think purely in terms of planets. Think in terms of, well, certainly moons,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they don't even need to be anything large at all. If life can survive in the most extreme places on Earth, then you've really got to cast a broader net when you start looking for things.
Excellent point. Jack,
absolutely.
We've got to go, though, because we're going to bring on our guest, and I'm so glad that you called in.
Thank you. Seriously,
thank you,
it's so cool. I thought you were dead. I'm like, where's Jeff at? Is he still
alive? I'm pretty sure I'm not dead.
Reports
of if him. Not, well, this should be a hit show, shouldn't it?
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much, Jeff. We'll talk to you soon,
thank
okay?
You.
Take it easy, man.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to break.
That was the boss.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that was hot. Okay.
We had to impress him. You guys like that?
That worked out really well.
I think
well,
you know, and
then
look,
we mentioned
look, we gave him 5 minutes, and look what he does. We gave him 5 minutes, and he totally changes our whole idea of thinking of things.
There you go.
Whole new idea.
Yep.
You know, not just planets, moons, rocks, all kinds of fun stuff.
And that's Phobos for you. So I'll tell you what. Let's go to break. We're going to get our guest. Our guest is Mr. Poos from PoosRadio.com.
Poos.
And he'll be on shortly with Ghostly Talk.
Poos.
My name is Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com.
We'll be right back.
on www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Well, to me, I want you to stand up and hold your hands in some stupid symbol.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and burn an X in your head.
Break after talking with the incredible Phobos.
Oh yeah, man, that was so cool to hear.
That was awesome.
The ask and you shall receive, I guess. Man. That was so cool.
You put it
cool.
out there in the universe; it came back to you.
It came back
threefold.
To me. I sent the vibration out,
and the call came.
And the call came in.
Isn't that awesome?
And I got schooled again. I can't make any point without Mr. Phobos coming in here going. Yeah, that's a great point, Scott, but...
But you're going to have to think a little further.
It's like working for one of the big three. You just can't get there. You can't nail it. You just can't nail it ever, man.
Well, that's why we have Phobos on our side.
Exactly.
I'm very, very excited about that. You guys, this is a very, very, very special show for
us.
First of all, we had that great first half hour, although I do get emails about... You know, it takes so long to get to your guest. You know, the first half hour of the show is
It takes exactly a half an hour to get to our guest.
It always takes a half hour. You can just, like, slide the little slider over to 30.
Yeah.
And then it'll be, like, in the middle of the break, and you can listen to the guest.
Yeah, I don't change anything when I archive the show. It's pretty much the same show.
A lot of people, they love it when we have guests on. And you know what? We got a really, really, really good one today.
Yeah.
We've got, actually, Mr. Poos on. Mr. Poos is a podcaster.
Yeah.
He podcasts, which is it's sort of a new thing. Mm-hmm. Created by Adam Curry, and you know, former MTV VJ, and it allows people to record shows. It's just recorded. It's not live. Like Ghostly Talk is aired live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're streamed live over the internet.
Yeah,
and you know, to however many listeners want to tune into the stream, and then of course we also archive the show and put it up on our website for people to download later if they want.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this doesn't have a live component other than it's recorded live, obviously.
Yeah,
and the podcasts, what they do is they record into their iRivers or their cassette players or their Windows recorder or whatever. They just record away. They record whatever they want to say, and then they put it up into their website, into their software that controls their website, and then folks can download it.
Yeah.
And it's got an interesting component in that once the recording is up there, they can either just go to the site and download it, you know, one click at a time, like people are used to downloading files from websites. Or they can use a program that will allow them to subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
And once you put in the URL, it's a thing that you know, it's mentioned on every podcaster's site, a URL. You put it into the your podcast subscription software, and then what will happen is it will come down every time you run your podcast subscription software. It'll just, the next one comes down.
The newest one comes down.
So what you do, the theory is, once it's on your computer... You can hook it up, so you hook up your little iPod, or you hook up, in my case, you can hook up your MPIO MP3 player, or you hook up your Compaq, or not Compaq, it's an HP iPack, you know, the little PDA that I have. You hook up any of these things, they automatically, you can set them to automatically sync files. So it'll automatically pull it down to your mobile device, and including cell phones. Some cell phones hook up to computers now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your podcasts on your cell phone, your PDA, your MP3 player, whatever it is you've got it synced up to, you always have the latest content.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of podcasting. And we've got a podcaster who made quite a splash here in the Detroit metro area.
You know,
we're in the Fraser, Michigan. We're in Fraser, Michigan.
Yeah, we're metro Detroit, man.
And made a big splash on WKRK with Greg and Michelle. And that's where Will had first heard of him. And so we called him up and said, hey, we want you on our show. Mm. So now you know a little bit about podcasting, or, mm-hmm. you know, very, very brief outline about podcasting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would like to really, really welcome Mr. Poos to Ghostly Talk. So, Mr. Poos, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Long introduction.
Was that a mouthful or what, Mr. Poos?
I didn't even have it written down.
Yeah, he did that all off the top of his head.
I did. I didn't even plan it.
No, he just did.
It just sort of happened.
Well,
I guess I'm trying to impress you, because you impress me, Mr. Poos. I've listened to literally, how many hours would you say?
Oh, God.
Like dozens of hours of you, and it is all you, and that impresses me so much, Mr. Poos. So thank you for coming on.
You got that wrong. That's me.
Well, the thing we love about the show so much is that it's the same framework as ours. We have over the last few years kind of, you know, tightened things up here and there, and made some commercial things, which are all independent people we advertise with. We've always tried to keep this a very grassroots show. Always try to keep it very real. All the information that comes out is very real. We don't edit anything. We're not censored by anybody. And obviously, you're not censored by anybody either, because I've listened to your show, too. And you, even though there's a lot of really funny things that come out, I mean, there are a lot of interesting points that I hear, especially over this past Thursday we heard your broadcast. Will called me saying, you need to download episode number 31. You need to download episode number 31. So I'm like, okay, I'll download it. All right, fine. And you actually talk about our show a little bit, because this is when Will came. Was it 32?
Yeah.
Okay, 32. You talked to Will, apparently, and you mentioned on your show that you were going to be coming on here to talk to us this past Sunday, which actually led the conversation you're having with yourself, more or less, into some pretty interesting points, we thought. And, I mean, it seems like you have some ideas on the subject matter we have on this show, such as when we did this one show a long time ago on dreams, which that was like 2 years ago, I think. It was back in 2002 when we broadcasted that show. That was back when we were just a one-hour format. You had some cool ideas on dreams. Well, some colorful ideas on dreams, too. Did you want to share those a little bit more, maybe get a little bit more depth with us on that?
Well, all I had to say was that whoever was doing the show, oh, gosh, they made some errors there.
Hey, we're all learning.
Yeah, we're all learning.
We're all learning at all times.
Generally, I don't say anything when it's about, like ghosts and ghouls. I don't know the difference between those two and all that stuff. But it's on the dreams, and that's something I've actually formally studied.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. Well, I think when I hear someone say that dreams have meaning, I just want to pass out. It's hilarious.
Really?
Really? See,
because well, I mean, it's not to say that they don't. It's just to say that the common theories for dreaming pretty much says, nah, that ain't going to happen. I mean, it could. It's just the probability is so low. And one of the main theories is called activation synthesis theory. And I won't bore you with that, because it's actually a neuro and psychology thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it just says that a lot of that stuff is from random events in the brain. And being random, that pretty much precludes the idea of meaningfulness.
Well, there's a lot of interesting stuff there, too, because if you've got randomness, how can you start taking control of dreams and have what they call lucid dreams?
Well, there is a chance that you will get a lucid dream, and that's also not that good of a thing. And you really can't say that people are having them, at least scientifically, I don't believe. And I have something else to say about lucid dreams, particularly.
Okay.
But, that's a part of being in a dreaming state and somewhere in between. And people that claim to have lucid dreams, from what I've been told, and I haven't read the articles on this, I have on all the others, but this is directly from the mouth of a professor. Those who have lucid dreams upon waking generally are not as refreshed and cognitively with it. There's, say, those who don't do that. So it's kind of stressful, and I'm not sure what problem that would play on it. You know, the whole cognitive theory, all that crap. But apparently it, you're just not as mentally fresh when you wake up.
I'm never mentally fresh when I wake up.
Well, me either. Like 30 minutes anyway.
I know, it takes me a while and a couple of, in my case, Diet Pepsis to get mentally fresh.
The caffeine jolt to get you
exactly.
rolling.
Exactly. Then I'm mentally fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So what you're basically saying, I mean, high level, though, is that the idea of dreams themselves, and I know that's one thing we mentioned back then, God, it was like 2 years ago, was that, you know, I think we talked a lot about dreams of the sort where you have this dream about someone that you don't, that you know in passing. You've talked to them maybe once or twice, and then you may not see them for a few years after that. And then all of a sudden you have a dream about them, very vivid. They're right there in front of you. You're playing cards together or something like that. You wake up, and maybe that day or the day after, you happen to bump into this person and start talking to him, like, hey, maybe have like a real long conversation with them of sorts. I mean, you don't really think that has any type of meaning at all?
That's actually a problem of probability
mm-hmm.
in mathematics. And there was a man, Devlin, who wrote a book called The Math Gene. And he said something similar, I mean, to that example. But it's a problem of more of mathematics than anything. Because how many days do you actually go about, you know, you think all these things and you totally forget it. But, you know, at some point you're going to think about it and then it's going to happen. And then you say, oh, geez, I was just thinking about that. Isn't that odd? I must have some special power.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, no, you don't. It just so happens that the probability of that happened, it actually did.
Mm-hmm.
So the two actually occurred. And when you actually test all that out and you begin scientifically working with all this mess, all those kinks sort of, you know, even out,
okay.
Especially that.
I know, well, just for example, I mean, it just happened to me again last night, as a matter of fact. A couple days ago, to start with, I had in a dream, anybody who's ever seen Dennis Leary, his stand-up comedy, the mm-hmm. comedian Dennis Leary, he sings this song, a goofy song, about NyQuil. And it's like, NyQuil, you break the effing queue, or whatever. It's really goofy, right? And for some reason, I was sleeping a few nights ago, and that song, from nowhere, some pink elephant with purple dots or something like that, jumped out from behind a tree in front of me and started singing that goofy song to me, right? And I'm like, well, that's kind of odd, whatever, you know, so I don't think anything about it. And then, like, a day later, I turn on the TV last night when I get home, and what I tell you before the show, I'm like, oh, man, I turned Comedy Central on, and whammo, there's Dennis Leary doing his stand-up. And I watched, like, an hour of Dennis Leary laughing myself stupid, right? I mean, it's another one of those distant things, and according to you, Dr. Poos. Dr.
Poos,
there you go.
Now we have a Dr. Poos.
Mr. Poos. That's more or less just probability. I mean, when you hammer it out with the numbers scientifically, it's a question of probability. It really isn't some magical power or clairvoyance or ESP or anything like that. It's just this idea of probability that it will happen.
Right.
More or less.
And in fact, like today, you know, their History Channel was having this big special, which I actually slept through, on UFOs.
I watched a bunch of it before I came here.
And so, let's see, that's odd that I'm speaking to you all, and I don't watch TV. I've probably watched all of 10 hours this whole year of TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I just so happened to catch that. And given the subject here, that it is a little odd, but how many times does the History Channel have the UFO thing? And according to my father, they play that crap all the damn time. They always got some foolishness like that. I'm sick of seeing that. Sick of seeing.
Oh, man, we love it.
I'm a junkie for that stuff.
Well, here's the thing. What we are, we would be classified as schizotypal.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They finally gave us a name. We have a psychological branding mark on us, and we would be called schizotypal because we.
And why so? It doesn't sound like you have a schizotypal personality.
Well, that's schizo,
not schizo. Schizotypal.
Schizotypal.
Yeah, that's the personality disorder, actually.
Is it okay? Right. All right.
They say that it's you know believing in things that aren't there and stuff like that.
Right.
Which, of course, to me, that's religion. I mean, you know, you're believing in something that you can't prove. And so I can't prove
anything, actually.
No, you can't. And that's
a problem of, again, statistics, is that nothing can be proven because you have to observe all things under all possible conditions. And there's always N plus one, see?
Mm-hmm. And that makes our job all the much harder because you know what we do. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you listen to enough shows to get the gist of what we do. What we started out as, and we're in our fourth year of broadcasting, and we do it the old way. We're not podcasters yet.
Yeah,
although we're working on it. But we do the what they call ghost hunting, and we crawl about in cemeteries or houses that people think are haunted or places of legend, you know, like the bridge where the woman supposedly threw the baby off of, and sometimes you can hear the baby crying, or the woman, you know, leaping in after the baby. And so you hear there's these legendary stories, and we go check these places out.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for evidence of things that cannot be, you know, we look for, what do they call it? Anomalous stuff.
Yeah, anomalous sounds. And
in recordings. Yeah. So we take recordings. We take tape recorders and digital tape recorders and old-fashioned tape recorders. We take cameras and digital cameras. We take temperature readings. So we take all this equipment with us, and we look for anything out of the ordinary, anything just, you know, above or below the norm, and we think of that as evidence that something not normal is going on, hence paranormal, right? That's what we do. I take it that would not be your hobby.
No. I certainly could never do that. It's not saying I don't have this, I am indifferent, as I like to say, on the whole ghost and all that stuff, because well, I'm not one to actually believe in it, but I don't say, well, you know, nothing there. But you know, it's like the UFO thingies, you know, they're talking about on TV. People either say, yeah, they do, or no, they don't. Typically, those that say, no, they don't, or they don't come here, is because, well, we're so far away from everything. And, again, that's actually a pair of physics and mathematics, because we don't know everything. We don't know how you can get here.
Well, yeah, but, exactly. How do we know we're too far away from everything?
So
yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that actually, and of course, life on other planets, you could say, well, we always assume that it's going to have the same biochemistry. So that's a huge error on most people, I guess, but biologists and a chemist, you know. These people sit and they say, well, you know, that's the problem of biochemistry, and I don't know what could be going on these planets. And I don't know what if something could live through. It just depends on the biochemistry, and that's a big part of it. But now when it gets to ghosts and things like that, I stick with it because I am so skeptic that I laugh at people that do that.
Well, I hope you're laughing with us because we also sometimes are shocked that that we go out and do these kinds
well,
of
Mr.
crazy
Poose,
things.
I mean, and Mr. Poose, I've been in, I still am sometimes in your position too. There's some places that we've went to, and we've talked about it before on this show, where we've been with certain people. Certain groups
and,
or whatever.
And everything is
yeah.
a ghost.
You walk in there and they're like, it's right there in front of you. It's right there, Scott. I'm like, there's nothing in front of me. There is a wall in front of me. I don't know what you're talking about, man, but there is no spirit or entity or ghoulie or ghost thingy or whatever that you're talking about. There's nothing there. I'm very skeptical of what you're saying right there, whoever this person is. I don't believe what you're talking about. I see that all the time, and your mentality is very healthy in my opinion. I mean, I love to listen to what other people have to say about this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like you come from a very much more scientifically sound, solid background too. I mean, there is a lot of talk. I know I had a professor in college at one time who actually said that to me. She was a psychology professor, as a matter of fact, ironically too, and she said, she's like, I don't think they should be teaching mathematics so much as they should be teaching statistics more. They should be teaching the art of statistics much more in educational places nowadays. Because
there's the problem of teaching mathematics, and it's a big problem with the teaching the calculus and versus other areas. But now I also believe in that. But you know, I come from the background of psychology and botany, so. And, of course, physics. So I have both statistics, probability theory, and calculus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... And I pretty much feel the same way. Now, psychologists do say that. They are... The reason they want people to study statistics is because of, well, you have to take, like, graduate-level classes in it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And most... I don't know, actually, several psychology professors that just teach statistics, so they're in the math department as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one that did that.
What I mean, it's going to be a goofy question, Doug. Are we thinking the same thing here?
No.
We're not. Well, you go ahead then.
No, because mine's not even on that topic. I was thinking, Puth, Mr. Puth, you are from, or well, you're like in two areas of the country, depending on the time of year, and usually Tennessee, right?
No, I'm only in Tennessee right now. I should be up in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And if all was going well, I would be in a botany class at Cornell right now. But unfortunately, I'm home because my father's a little sick.
Oh,
in Nashville.
Sorry to hear that.
Statistically, it may not work, but I'll send all my healthy prayers and best wishes your way and your father's way. Statistically, it doesn't work. But Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
isn't that the home of the Bell Witch?
Yes, it is.
Have you heard of the Bell Witch?
I've heard of it, and I actually we have someone in my family who's supposedly been up that way.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, you." If you even start that malarkey with me, I'm just going to laugh at you. So they say, oh, some kid went up there, he got a rock, and you know, the next few days he got hit by a Mack truck. And I'm like, look.
Oh, my gosh.
How many people do you know that's been hit by Mack trucks, transfer trucks? She's like, oh, well, I don't know, 4 or 5. So,
where the heck do you guys live?
I don't think I know anybody who's hit by a Mack truck. I know someone who was hit in the head by a forklift.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone who's been hit by a Mack truck.
Well, all of her friends have been, you know, I think between she and my brother, but all of her friends have died.
Oh, my God!
I mean, my brother, he's like, 3 of his friends have already died.
That sounds
so
like a...
He's still in his 20s.
That sounds like an unhealthy area to live.
Oh, God.
Man.
I wanted to retire to Tennessee. I'm not going there now.
See, they have... in the rural part. Of course, Nashville, you're probably going to get a hit. You know, people have wrecks all the time, of course, but, you know, this is just, he went up there to this, I don't know, what is it, a cave or some crap?
Yep. It's Adams, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adams, broke down part of Tennessee, of course. And, they, I mean, it is. I mean, that's Corn Pone and Hush Puppies. And, it's embarrassing. Gosh, I think if they're going to have something like that, it should be more metro. Because, you know, nothing would happen then. I don't know of any haunted caves in Memphis.
Yeah.
Oh, the Orpheum Theater. I forgot about that. That actually is haunted, they say.
Which theater is that?
Orpheum in Memphis.
Orpheum Theater in Memphis?
Orpheum. Yeah.
Check that out.
Peabody. I don't know what it's called. I believe that's the name, Orpheum. You can type it into the Googles, and you know, of course, it'll come up. But anyhow, it's supposedly, or the Yahoo, if that's your type. And it's supposedly haunted as well. But I'm like, listen, I'm going to go see the Phantom of the Opera, and I don't care, really, if it's haunted or not. I ain't got time for that. That's stupid and retarded. So. And don't even start that malarkey.
See, I think it's romantic. to have an idea of a haunting, and usually they have some kind of, you know, emotional thing, emotional component of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two lovers usually, or two, you know, star-crossed lovers go out, you know, or somebody who had been, you know, perhaps in a theater situation, it would usually be this person was the caretaker of the theater, you know, he would worked there for, you know, 6 decades, and then passed away, but still goes to work. Mm-hmm. Still shows up at the theater to mm-hmm. help out or whatever, or try and make his presence known. I mean, it to me, the haunting thing is a bit of a romantic idea as well. You know, emotional, mm-hmm. romantic kind of,
well,
stuff.
The emotion of, how would you say, passion.
Yeah, a
passion, desire, love, all these wonderful things. you know, they're strong.
Thanks, Pavlov.
Maybe you like,
yeah,
that, didn't you? They're strong. They're very strong emotions, mm-hmm. you know, and we've discussed that.
And to build a story around it.
To build a story around
like
it.
That. Yeah.
And if you do believe, I don't know if Mr. Poos is going to believe this.
Obviously not.
Probably not. there are these things called psychic sponges out there where these areas or places of that sort with certain stone types and whatnot, they do, how would you say, take in this emotional energy.
They certainly have a lot more stories surrounding them.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
So, interesting.
I don't know what Mr.
Mm-hmm. Social, cultural story or something like that.
Yeah, there's...
Okay, that actually builds the idea of having these ghosts.
Right.
Once you give something a name or a story, it's mm-hmm. the same way with children. And a mother is pregnant, and I don't know the evidence for this. This is out of a professor's mouth. I like to distinguish what I've actually read in journals and heard.
Mm-hmm.
But this is according to a professor. If the mother is pregnant and has a miscarriage, she is less likely to be having all these go through a major depression. But if she had named this child before, and so it sort of adds to the actual being of a person. And the same way with stories and all that malarkey, and children have something nominative realism. I believe is what they call that. And, you know, where they get mad when you don't call them by their own name. You call them something else and they get mad. Mm. And they yell at you. And it's kind of a developmental thing. But it sounds like these sponge whatever. somebody emailed me the article for that. I've got to see. See, that's me. I'm not saying I don't believe it must have been published. I'm just saying... it's probably a much malarkey.
Paranormal
hooey, as they would probably call it.
I'll see if I can find an article on that for you, Mr. Poos, and I'll actually email it to you. I'll let you take a look at it.
Before we go on, though,
yeah,
let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
And and then we'll be back with more,
yeah,
more of Mr. Poos. And
some interesting ideas coming here.
Yeah,
this is some very interesting stuff.
This is awesome because I'm getting an education as well.
Yeah, we're among other things.
And we're having a lot of fun, I think. So, cool. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Mr. Poos of PoosRadio.com.
Yes.